A little bit, it says there. I'll just read it real quick. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He said, stand fast in the Lord. I want to skip down to verse 4, because he said what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. He said, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is what? At hand. He said, let them know God is with you. Let them know he's right here. Then he gives some instructions. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what? Let your request be made known, what? Unto God, not unto man, not to your job, but unto God. And if you do that, he said, what? The peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so what? Keep your hearts and minds, what? Through Christ Jesus. You ain't going to lose your mind. Don't listen to what they tell you. You are not going to lose your mind. Then we flipped over and we went down. We read verses 8 through 13. I want to start at 10 today right now. It said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, where ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of one, I don't need to say, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to what? Be content. He said, I don't care what's going on, I will be content. I've learned this, y'all. That's something we have to go through a process, right? Say, I know both how to be abased, how to deal with little or nothing, and how to abound, which is to deal with a whole bunch. Say, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He could say that because he had some training and some learning. But we got to understand, how do we have joy in the midst of spiritual dysfunction? Part two. So I just want to catch everybody up in case you missed part one. Dysfunction means what? Impaired or abnormal functioning. Not the way it was intended to do. It ain't acting the way it's supposed to act. It ain't running like it's supposed to run. Abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction within a group. Some things are not normal. That's what he's talking about. That's dysfunction. Well, dysfunction is made up of two words. The first is function. Function means the act or operation expected of a person or thing. I'll give you an illustration. When you got in your car today, and you, whether you had a key to stick in ignition or you had a key fob and you pushed the button, you expected it to start up. And guess what? If you hear, it started up. And you expected that whatever happens, what? We know that you don't know the engineering detail behind it, but there's a certain amount of air that goes into the carburetor with a certain amount of gas that goes in there. And when the mixture hits right and you turn the key, there's a spark that comes from the spark plug and broom, it ignites. If you did this in your kitchen, it would blow up your house. But in the confines of that car, it functions like it's supposed to. Then you know that, guess what? If I put it in gear, whether I have to back out first or drive forward, I put it in gear. And if I mash on the gas, it moves. And oh, by the way, guess what? I got control, because if I turn the wheel to the left, it goes left. If I turn the wheel to the right, it goes right. That's the function. That's the way it's supposed to work. Well, the word dys, D-Y-S, from the Greek language says abnormal, difficult, impaired, or bad. So when you put those together, you get dysfunction. That means it's not operating the way it should operate. Now put on your hats. Don't look at this logically. Don't look at this carnally. We're talking about spiritual dysfunction. The way God intended it to work, it ain't working. There's some spiritual dysfunction taking place. But no matter what we see, we need to know what? That we still got joy in the midst. Before anybody say it out loud in here, you might be thinking, well, how can you say that there's spiritual dysfunction? Look at those who profess Christ. How can we hate one another? How can we not be on one accord? Christ is not divided. Christ does not give two separate answers to the same question. Christ is one. So there's some dysfunction. Why does one church like you and the other church don't? Why does one church see one truth and the other church don't? We all professors of Christ. So the world sees spiritual dysfunction. We don't even love each one another. Disagree with me, get in my way. Go down the street to another Christian church. You can't do that here. We don't do it that way. God, so there's some spiritual dysfunction. So how do I know? Well, last time I gave you 2 points. Dysfunction is not the way, they're not the way Jesus' way. It's not his way. Where do we find that? Verses 1-3. He said, therefore, my brother, do not long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. He said, look, I entreat thee in verse 3, true yoke me, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with others. He said, look, you all are helping one another. That's my way. That's what he told them to do, is to help one another. He told them, you don't know who they were. The church of Philippi didn't know all these people. Paul said, help them. Because Paul had been there. Paul had established the church at Philippi. But now since he was gone, they start doing their own thing. They start returning to old habits. Why? Because there were some false teachers. There were some people telling them, well, you know, he might have said that, but it's okay for you to do this. He might have said y'all should get along and be on one accord, but it's okay for y'all to argue. He might have said it's okay for you, you know, that God, Jesus said what? We should be concerned with everybody and you not worry about gender and nationality and where you from. Go seek the Gentiles and everybody else. But he gone now. We only going to take care of our own. There was some dysfunction taking place. There were some false teachers. And he said, don't do that way. Don't do that way. And then he said in Ephesians, I told you what? What does Ephesians 6:10 say? Anybody know Ephesians 6:10? Some of y'all know it. Just go ahead and quote. It's okay. Be what? Strong. Be strong in the Lord. Absolutely. Just before he gave us what? The full arm. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. That's where we get a lot of spiritual dysfunction. We want to walk in our might. Anybody tried to do it on your own before? How did that work out for us? Not too well. Thank you, Brother Chan. Not too well. We went to battle and we got defeated. Hallelujah. He said, not in the mind. Then he says what? Instructions to be what? Full of joy. And in verses 4-9, he says what? He tells us what we're supposed to do and how it's supposed to work. So we said, we need to do what? All these things, what? Through obedience. Not that we can quote a scripture. Not that we can pray fire down from heaven. Not that we got a smile and everything so put together, but through obedience. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's instruction number one. So the next time you get ready to go, I don't know what, stop. The Bible tells us what? To rejoice. If we rejoice in the Lord always, then guess what? Some things start to happen. He said, let your moderation be known. The Lord is with me. See, I think there was a thing came out some time ago. Y'all know what it was. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And, you know, it was a good catchphrase. It was a good catchphrase. But guess what? Nobody really followed. Well, I should say nobody. A lot of people like to say it, but they didn't follow it. Oh, what would Jesus do? Well, I'm going to do my own thing. Wait a minute. I can remember sitting in a meeting once. I was sitting in a meeting. It was a meeting of some religious leaders. It was out in the city of Elgin at that time. And everybody had their little WWJD bracelets on. And we had had prayer. We were about to start discussing some things of how we were going to work with the city. And within 5 minutes, there were arguments going on. And one of the ladies, she's just sweet little lady. She said, I just got a question. I'm a little slow. And somebody said, what's your question? They were expecting her to go off on what they were talking about. She said, do y'all think this is what Jesus would do? And the whole room got quiet. But it didn't stop. Because somebody said, well, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this. He told us to take care of it. He says, no, be obedient, rejoice. Said what? Be careful for nothing, but everything by what? prayer and supplication in what spirit? Prayer. We can pray, pray, pray. We can have our supplication. But if it's not with thanksgiving, it ain't in line. Say, with thanksgiving, make your what request made known and say, and then if you do that, look what happens. The peace of God. That's what we said, right? Instructions to be what? Joy in the midst. The peace of God, what? Which passeth all, shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he said in verse 8, what? Whatsoever things are true, da, 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 da. So we understand it. So that's where we left off. Dysfunction is not Jesus' way. So if we're not functioning or doing it, anything in your life that ain't the way God wants, there's something wrong. We need to handle the dysfunction on your job, in your families, in your neighborhood, whatever it is. He gives us instructions how to do that. We don't have to make it up. Don't have to make it up. Then we told you what? In James, he said, well, do what? Count it all what? Joy. I'm just going to go to the next slide. He says, there it is right there in Deuteronomy. Next slide after that. He says, well, count it all joy. But Philippians tells us, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. That's what Paul was saying to the Philippian church. Look, I was there. I'm not there. I sent somebody there. I hear the report. You need to get back to doing. We need to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. Without God, we can do what? Nothing. We can do nothing. Peter, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 9 said, what? Humble yourselves, what? Under the mighty hand of God, exalt in due time, be sober, be vigilant, not upon ourselves, but to do what? Humble. James said, count it all a joy. No, that ain't you. That's me. I'm having a moment. How do I count the joy when I'm going through something? How do I count the joy when the world is whooping my butt? How do I count the joy if I can't pay my? How do I count the joy if I'm caught in a fault and things keep happening, but I'm praying to God? And how do I do that? By following the instructions. We pray and we make our requests known, but we have a joyful spirit. Did y'all hear Sister Marcia say the lady gave up? But God didn't give up. So no matter what she decided, God did what God wanted to have happen. Did y'all miss that? I'm done. I'm sick of being tired. I don't want no more. I'm ready to go home, God. God said, I ain't ready to get you. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. So we count it joy, and then what? Let what? Patience have her perfect way, her perfect work. We got to wait on some things. It was patient and tired, waiting, wanting for nothing. So that brings us to today. And I ended on last time. I said, the highest form of worship is what? Our obedience to Jesus. You want to give God true worship? Be obedient to what he says. It's more than the words that you can sing. It's more than a melody that comes out of your voice that sounds like a mockingbird. It's more than how good you can pray. It's more to how your knowledge that comes from how much you studied the word and can quote the word. Because if you quote it and you ain't obedient to it, it ain't nothing. So the highest form of worship is what? Our obedience to God. And now I just want to get to point three. Joy in the midst of spiritual dysfunction. It is right here in verses 10 to 13. 10 to 13, it says, look, but I rejoice. He said, Paul said, I rejoice. You understand Paul's in prison, right? You understand Paul ain't living the good life. Paul is in prison. Now, he ain't in prison. He's a Roman citizen that has a decree that you can't imprison Roman citizens, right? But he's in prison. So all of a sudden, he felt betrayed. Wait a minute. I'm one of y'all. And you got me behind bars? I ain't supposed to be here. But you know what made more sense to them? You talking about that Jesus. That's why you there. You ain't one of us. Has anybody ever been abandoned before? He said, but what? No matter what, I rejoice. But he's rejoicing here because now at last, the care that the Philippian church used to give him, that they had to stop giving him because he was away from them, they cannot do it again. So they could care for him. they could send money to him. They could do the things that they needed to do because Paul had sent somebody to them that was going to come back. He said, I want you to understand something. You were also careful, but ye lacked the opportunity. He said, it wasn't just that you didn't want to, you lacked the opportunity. But there's even more to that. They lost the desire to do the right thing. See, sometimes God gives us something to do, and when it doesn't work the first time or we're not in the middle of it, we want to change it. Let me ask, how many people have made New Year's resolutions before? How many of you ended the year haven't completed them? Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. I must be in the wrong place. Y'all thinking carnally. You ain't thinking spiritually. Did you start the year loving Jesus? Did you end the year loving Jesus? Was that one of your commitments that, Lord, I'm going to love you every day of my life? Every day, Lord, I'm going to give you praise. I didn't say whether you did it every day, but did you start and end the year the same way? Yes. But we're not thinking on a spiritual level. We're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I was going to work out, you know, those kind of things. But I'm talking about, he's talking about the love of God here. Somebody said, not that I speak in what respect to one. He said, when whoever state I am, therewith what I have learned to be content. Whether I got lots, it is easy, or whether I got nothing. Maybe you don't know what that's like. Let me give you an illustration. Life has taken me in. First lady on some journeys. Sometimes up and sometimes down. We've been on a journey in our house. Never before had anyone in our neighborhood ever said anything to us. Not once. God was doing what God was going to do. You know, this time, because the enemy wanted to try and make you think this is worse, somebody said something. You know, we heard, we know you know. You get all the mail. We know you know. You just never, because you didn't need anything. You didn't say anything. Because this time you wanted something, you decided to say something. But what you said wasn't sincere. And God said what? Give them what they need. Share the love of Christ. All is well. Everything is good. But that's how the enemy works. He said, we've learned to be content. It ain't content like we would have dreamed of. It ain't content like we would necessarily want it to be, but I'm content that God's in control. We ain't lacked nothing. We've learned how to deal with less. We've learned how to make things work the way God wants them to work. And when we couldn't work it, God worked it to make it happen. Not because somebody sent or somebody, but because we learned. And because we've learned to be content, we've learned to abound. Our faith is stronger than it's ever been. Our love for other people is stronger than it's ever been. The work that we got to do is stronger than it's ever been. Folks say, y'all crazy. No, I ain't crazy. I'm just full of Jesus. Whatever he say do, that's what I got to do. You don't bear this burden that I got to walk through with my God. You will forsake me at the first turn. And I ain't getting personal here, but that's the truth. But God ain't going to forsake me. Oh, let me make it plain. Next week, First Lady and I got to move. I need a place to stay. Who's going to take us in? I said, that's right. That's not a reality. I'm just saying. You got to be careful because people go, well, okay, but how long? You know, I got to dot the I's and cross the T's before I let you in. How long? If I had to answer that question, I might not need to be there. Has anybody ever had anybody come to the house in need and you took them in and they weren't a family member? And you let them stay? and you gave them rights and privileges as any family member? That's what he's talking about, whether I got much or whether I got little. And then he makes a bold statement. Say, because of this, he gets down, he said, because I abound, where at all things are, he gets to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't quote this verse by itself without first telling somebody you got to know how to deal with much or little because you surrendered to God. They go together. If you ain't confident in resting what God says and how God says, you ain't got the strength to do nothing because it comes from Jesus. And I can do all things. I'm going to get my house. That's the shortcut. The truth is you got to first learn how to be content where you are. You got to first learn how to let God love you. You got to first learn how you love God. You got to first learn whether I'm free or whether I'm bound. Jesus is in control. And when you do that, God gives you all the things. I could say to the mountain, get out of my way. I could say to that person who hurt me, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with you now, but I love you. And I could say to the job that threw you out and affected your whole family, guess what? May the heaven smile upon you. May the Lord bless you, but you ain't got no control. I could get rid of all the hurts that still bind me. When I see things that used to bother me and you want to see stuff, don't get nervous because it's like it looked like before. I can do all things because God is in control. That's the power of having joy in spiritual dysfunction. Every church, there's spiritual dysfunction taking place. Why? Because it's a wrestle. The enemy's lurking behind. Y'all hear him whispering in your ear, don't you? Oh, come on, y'all ain't got to say nothing, but you know. You hear him whispering in your ear. You know why I know he's whispering? Because you're trying to do the right thing. If you're trying to do the right thing, he's whispering. Girl, bro, you don't believe that, do you? That can't happen. Ain't nobody else doing that. Why should you do it? Oh, and I love this one. You always was, you always will be, and can't God, Jesus, nobody can change it. And you don't believe it, but the first time you start to do it again, I guess it ain't no good. No, surrender to where he is and watch the power of God. The power of God change your attitude. Did y'all hear we sing that song, How Great Is Our God? There's a line in there that just makes me shout. He's the lion and the lamb. The strongest and the weakest. The smartest and the not so smart. But the one who will fight the battle and the one who will freely give it to save somebody else. It's the lion and the lamb. The lion of the tribe of Judah, but the lamb that was slain for the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. That's why I said so. When we look at this, just a couple of things we'll be done. 2 Timothy says something in 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. He says, though, therefore, my son, be strong in what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that is heard of me, what? Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men who should be able to what? To teach others also. Do y'all understand we're teachers? We got to teach people how to have joy in the midst of spiritual dysfunction. When it raises its ugly head, we were talking in Sunday school, we know that justice got to be done. We got to decree that ain't right. Whether you in the majority or whether you in the minority, whether you in your house or whether you on your job, whether you in the grocery store or whatever other kind of stores, y'all know what I'm talking about. Say, thou endure what? Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. We are not of this world. We got to stop letting the things of this world entangle us. I'm not saying they won't be there. I'm not saying we won't slip sometime and you know, partake a little bit of it. But don't get entangled. There's a difference. To go through and be tempted is one thing. To slip and fall is one thing. But when you get entangled, it's like the parable of the sower. The seeds go down. but all the weeds and thatches just choke it out so that it can't get out. I'm gonna give you a secret. They can't entangle you. You serve a God and his name is Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, it's gotta let you go. Oh, some. The name of Jesus, it will set you free. At the name of Jesus, those who wanna die can't die. At the name of Jesus, somebody say, why is mine worse than yours? Why? Because I'm talking about in the name of Jesus, and you're going, well, when Jesus will get around to it. There's a difference. The lion says, in the name of Jesus. The lamb says, well, I don't know. I can't do it. I need the shepherd to come do so. The shepherd gave you a voice. The shepherd gave you his word. The shepherd said, decree what I told you. In the name of Jesus, get away from me. You heard, sister. Look, in my house, you're going to die. No illness, no deception, no lying, no crying about stuff that ain't of God. No, you're going to die when you enter this door. How do I know? Go to 2065 Medina Circle. When we moved in, we said, Lord, anything that don't mean us good, don't let it come through the door. And folks have stopped at the door. Church folks have stopped at the door. We love them anyhow. I went to a funeral about 3 weeks ago, and one of the ladies who got stopped at the door, she said, y'all doing so well, aren't you? Don't forget about me. Keep praying for me. And she's on our walker, and she's an advocate and a wonderful lady. But she still wants to say, I never got to see your house. Because when you came, you didn't come for the right reason. You can come anytime. We got an open door. God says, if you're coming for the wrong reason, you're going to stop. And I don't have to say, you're coming for the right reason? No, I ain't got to say a word. Open the door. You're going to stop. That's the power of the God we serve. Then he says in James, brother, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, look at the power here. He said, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way to do what? Save a soul from death and shall hide what? A multitude of sins. When we share the gospel and somebody accepts the gospel, a whole multitude of sins have been hidden. They're washed by the blood. They go, how many people know your sins have been hidden? Oh, don't go looking for mine, y'all. Don't go looking for mine. God done covered them up. I got a whole bunch out there, a whole lot of things I've said, a whole lot of things I did that I shouldn't. God said, I'll cover them up with what? We give it to him to do the right thing. Now, there's a responsibility that comes with that. Don't be trying to dig up nobody else's dirt. Because if you dig up somebody else's dirt and want to ridicule where they are, God's going to reveal yours for many times as you reveal theirs. That's justice. God said, I've saved you. I've washed you. I've cleaned you up. You don't go doing that to nobody. He says, so there's joy in the midst of this spiritual dysfunction. So let me just give a few bullet points and I'm going to be done here, right? This spiritual dysfunction prevents us from exalting our God among the world. How does that happen? Well, the world say you should treat everybody right. We do treat everybody. World say you should love. I do love everybody. But the world also say, well, they can make a choice. My God said, no, that's not the right choice. So I'm going to love you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to speak the truth to you, but I'm not going to say it's okay. There's a difference. Notice I said, I'm going to love you. We're charged to love everybody. I'll embrace you because I want you to know the love of Christ. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's okay because it's not. If I agree to tell you it's okay, then guess what I'm doing? I'm saying I don't care about you. You can go on and down that road. I'm here to save your soul. I'm here to share the word of God. That's what God wants for us. He don't want nobody to have to pay for their sins. So when you love somebody, you love Christ, you don't want anybody to suffer that pain, to pay that price. Look. Let me share about the love of Christ. It will wipe the slate clean. you get a do-over. Amen. You get a clean bill of health. You get extended life. You might be tired, but God ain't tired because there's more for you. Second thing, spiritual dysfunction takes our eyes off of Jesus. We get distracted by everything else. Some of us know something about that, don't we? I know you've come through. I've heard your testimony. Spiritual dysfunction delays someone's conversion because of what they see. When the church can't get it right, and the church acts a hot mess, why does a sinner want to go to the church? Ask yourself this question. Would anybody want to come to my church with me? It's a question. I don't need you to answer. God already knows the answer. And the world knows the answer. Every church has to answer that question. And you know what's wrong right now? Most of the churches are empty. Not because they don't love God, but they don't want to go to battle. And it's not even your battle. You're just like one crying in the wilderness. We need more John and Jane the Baptist. I'm just throwing that to be gender correct. More crying in the wilderness. It was a joke, y'all, okay? More crying in the wilderness. Come, be baptized and repent. We need more who are sold out for Christ to say, no matter what it might cost me, what I might have to go through, I love my God and he saved me, he can save you. People need to know, because without it, you're going to keep getting shock treatment. Every day you wake up, you're going to hear more and more disgusting things that are taking place. You know why? Somebody ain't telling them about the love of Christ. Every day you'll hear parents doing things. The lady down south, she decapitated her 6-year-old. Your own 6-year-old, you cut his head off. And there you are calling the police, come, you got the blood in the eyes. Adults feeding babies and children in school bodily fluids and baked goods. Teachers putting kids behind cabinets to learn where they can't even be with the rest of the class and they think it's okay. That's a world that's dysfunctional. But the spiritual dysfunction comes with us that won't even do anything about it. Won't even do anything about it. So spiritual dysfunction keeps us what? As babes in Christ. When we're spiritually dysfunctional, we don't grow. We get tired. We get weary. Ask me how I know. I've been up at 2:30 every night this week. 3:30 this morning. I got one extra hour. And do you think I wanted to be up? God say, I know the call. I don't even fight no more. I used to go, oh, God, just wait till I get up, God. I'll give you the rest. Ain't nothing to worry about. You know how I know it's God? It don't disturb my wife. Ordinarily, if I get out of bed, something jar, you know they move, she don't even know I'm gone. Because it's God. Now, when I get up on my own and I'm fretting over things, she say, what was wrong with you? That's God. That's what God is. It creates some things. So obedience eliminates what our spiritual dysfunction. Galatians tells us that. Galatians 5. It tells us what? I'm just going to read it for you, and then you can write it down. But in Galatians 5, it tells us that what? Not 6, I want 5. Look at God. There we go. It says what? For we through the Spirit. I'm sorry, 16 and 18. What? This I say then. Walk what? In the Spirit, And ye shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot what? Do the things that ye would. What? But if ye would what? Be led by the spirit, ye what? Are not under the law. So when the spirit leads us, we have victory. When we're led by the flesh, we got defeat. So God gives us instructions. He gives us instructions. If you go to John 3:17, now everybody know John 3:16, don't we? We love to quote John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son what? That whosoever believe on him what? Shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. But the 17th verse is the rest of the story. In John 3:17, he says, look, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him what? Might be saved. You can quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's good. But the purpose he did that was so what? The world would not be condemned, but through his son, they might be saved. We are the conduits. We are the actuators. We are the waterers. We are the nurturers. We are the planters that point people to Christ. Not to my good church, not to my holy name, not to my wonderful character. My character's a hot mess at times. Ask somebody that I didn't do the right thing around. But Christ, when I stay in the will of Christ, I ain't got to worry about my character. When I stay in the will of Christ, you don't have to worry about what people think of you, because they'll know your heart, because God will reveal. But when you stay in the will of Christ, watch what things happen. And then all it sums up in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at what? My right hand. I shall not be moved. David said, I've set him before me always. Said, he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And there's something about being on the right hand of God. Y'all hold on to that. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh, what? Also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt what? Show me the path of life. And then he said, what? In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's what he says. We stay in the presence of God. Now, let me tell you about this right hand for a moment. Do y'all know where Jesus went? To be at the right hand of the Father. Do you know what Jesus means to you if you know him? That you're what? Heirs and joint heirs. And so if you're heir to Christ and he's at the right hand of the Father and you're a joint heir with Christ, guess where you are? At the right hand of. You wonder why I get excited, because I got connection to the right hand of God, which was the power hand. That was the power position. That was the place God placed everything that he had, was at his right hand. Sorry, left-handers. That's a joke, y'all. We're not talking about whether you write with your right or write with your left. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the position that God gave. The position of peace. The position of joy. The position of entitlement. The position of authority. The position that nobody can come against you. You've got a decree from the king. You got a decree from the master. You've got the blood from the king. You've got the blood from his son, and it's covering you. So whenever you come and somebody comes into the presence, they must bow down. Y'all thinking about that? I didn't say if they want to. I said, they must bow down. How do I know? What does the word say? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, And because you've been bought by a price and the blood has been shed over your life and you are his, guess what? And you are heir and joint heir. When you decree the word of God by the Spirit of God, they must bow down. And not enough for the rest of the story. If they refuse to bow down, just be patient. God will bring them down. The battle is not yours. It belongs what? To the Lord. So today, there's some truths about spiritual dysfunction. There's some truth about spiritual dysfunction. Go ahead, Sister Mary. I know we run a little over time than we normally do, but guess what? I want to remind us of something. I want to remind us what God told us to decree and declare and to watch and to walk and to march for an entire year. God said, well, what? By the hand of the Almighty, what? I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now what? We're walking in victory. You don't know half the battle of the enemy that comes against us. Half of it don't even get to us because somebody's interceding over this place. So before it even gets to your doorstep, before it gets to your mind, somebody's already said, I declare in the name of Jesus, there's a covering. And how do I know? Because when I got here, God gave us a fresh covering. God said, you've been patched up and holed up. No, God said, I'm putting a new roof. And it forever illustrate and represent who I am for you.